Thank you, Worship Leader. Sorry we started late because there were things that happened that had to be resolved. So that added into our time. So tonight is quite interesting what Spirit wanted me to talk about. Initially, the title was going to be Don't Be an Ass. Don't be a jerk. Choose your word wisely and it might actually save your life. But I thought they might think, well, for a spiritual community, I don't know if they should be using that word. But it's to be a shock to make us really pay attention. So what does this, before we go into this, what does the scripture really say about choosing our words wisely? And then you will see why I said it might actually save your life. It might actually save our lives. I'm going to start from the Christian Bible, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 12, verse 36. This is what it says. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an account for it in the day of judgment. That's why I say, if you choose your word wisely, it might actually save your life. Because if they say the day of judgment, what they are saying is about karma. You use bad words that hurt people and all of that, guess what? There's a karmic reaction to that. And then you will have to go through that to see what it feels like when we don't choose our word wisely. It's like shooting somebody. You might say, well, I didn't actually shoot them. I didn't have a bullet. But they say even words can be worse than bullets. It can totally demoralize anyone. It can totally make them don't want to have anything to do with God. In the book of Proverbs, which is part of the Jewish Bible, 18:21. The tongue has the power of life and death. And those who love it will eat its fruit. In other words, what you put out there, you get. That's karmic reaction. In the Christian Bible, James 1:19, it says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because words can start a big fight, both on your face, because you said that, you know, you didn't choose the word wisely. The book of Proverbs 17:28 in the Jewish Bible. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace, when he shuts his lips, he's considered perceptive. So it's not everything we need to talk and respond to. Lock it up. And the same book of Proverbs 10:19 says, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. In other words, you will say things that you will regret. But he who restrains his lips is wise. Colossians, the Christian Bible says, chapter 4, verse 6, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt. We know if you eat food without salt, you say, oh, this food is not tasty. Seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Ephesians 4:29 from the Christian Bible. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. It reminds me of something Yogananda said. Yeah, you might think you know the truth. Because sometimes truth and facts are not the same. If by telling somebody, oh, I saw what your spouse did, oh, I saw what your daughter did, if it's going to cause them heart attack, if it's going to make them feel powerless or depressed, then button up your mouth, don't say it. Anything that will hurt another person just because you want to feel good about yourself, I'm speaking the truth. No, shut it up. Because the God in them knows when to let them know the truth. And if the God in them doesn't let them know the truth because they know they can't handle the truth, then who are you to give that truth? Just to make yourself feel good that, oh, I'm doing this. But if it's going to help lift them up, then gladly open your mouth up. So if our words does not lift people up, then don't say it. I remember the story of this person who's trying to be saintly. He's doing the thing. And this group of armed robbers came. They were looking for this guy. And the guy ran past him and said, and climbed the tree to save his own life. And then the leader of the army said, did you see somebody here and all of that? And because he wanted to feel good about himself, that he's speaking the truth, the Lord says, speak the truth all the time. He didn't say more, but he raised his eyebrow to say, he's in that tree. And that caused the death of that person. Only for him to find out, now that has become big karma for him. But I was just trying to speak the truth. Well, did he take somebody's life? So what kind of truth is that? You could have saved that person's life. And so holding that is not going to stop you from knowing God, from being one with God. It doesn't mean we should encourage lies and all of that. But we need to choose our words wisely. So several Bible verses advise choosing our words wisely, with popular ones including Ephesians 4:29, which is what I read just now, which says, to only speak what is helpful for building others up. And so what does it tell us to do? Be slow to speak. It is wise to restrain our lips, listen more and speak less. Because a fool's mouth can lead to their destruction. While restraint is a mark of wisdom. That's why you see elders, if you ever sat with them, they are good listeners. They won't say anything unless it's absolutely necessary. They will listen, even when you're trying to tell them what they know. They will just say, okay. They will listen. And some of you know what I'm talking about. You want to tell your elders, even we know what we, but we say, okay. Speak with a helpful and healing word. Avoid unwholesome talk, like I read before, and instead choose words that are helpful for building others up and bringing grace to them. The tongue of the wise brings healing. Don't they say you can catch more bee with honey? Or is it the other way around?
Catch more flies with honey.
You can catch more flies with honey.
Than with vinegar.
Than with vinegar, because why? Honey is sweet. So let us be like honey. A soft answer, when we use gentle language, can turn away wrath. While a harsh word stirs it up, gracious words are sweet to the soul. If you're in conflict with someone, you might say the wrong word, and from instead of de-escalating, boom, it's conflagration. It blows up. And before you know it, it's even worse than the Palisades fire. And then everybody is screaming. Even the cops can't save you because now everything is blowing up. Guard your tongue. The Bible compares the power of words to the power of life and death. So you must be mindful of how you communicate. Guarding your mind tongue is a way of preserving your life. That's why I say, you know, it might actually save your life. And then you won't need the karmic reaction. Because it's so easy to forget that. I remember when I was still living in California, Spirit would show me things, and I would just say it. And one time, I was going, and Spirit said, because I was saying, Lord, I'm tired of shocking people. I mean, it's like seeing somebody telling them, oh, your boss is the one that is working against you, and they will give the name of the person, or your spouse is doing the, you know. And then they find that it's true. So I was telling Spirit, said, that's not who I am. I can't. And Spirit said, well, we gave you those messages. Yours is to choose your word wisely. That's the first time I heard about it. Like, huh? I thought I was supposed to speak. Yeah, you speak what we gave you, but choose how your delivery. Your delivery matters. Don't tell somebody, I saw you dying, you know, tomorrow. No. You might say, I think you need to work on your health, so that it doesn't, you know, lead to difficulties. You still speak the truth, you know. Isn't that what they say? Even the Constitution of the United States, you know, yeah, you have the right to speak, right, to free speech and all of that. But then if you say you're going to kill the president, well, what do you think will happen? The Secret Service will take your ass down. Yeah, no free speech of the Constitution will save you on that. But if you say, well, I don't like what is going on, I think we should have changes, they can sue you for that. Sometimes when we talk to our children, we don't choose the word wisely. It actually throws them into what you're trying to save them from. I mean, we've all been kids before. Our parents don't want us to bond them. We say, maybe some of you are more gentler than I am. I was stubborn when I was growing. I want to have my way. No, you cannot have your way, because that's not the way the world is. If you have your way, you'll be 6 feet below. So to bring this home, here's a story for us. The first part of this story we call the cardboard sign. You know how people carry signs. So once a young man was passing by a street where he saw an old man sitting on the roadside begging for money. And we've seen it in this country, even though it's supposed to be the wealthiest country in the world. That old man was sitting there with an empty bowl in front of him. And then he had a cardboard sign that was right there beside the empty bowl. On the cardboard, there's a cutout that was put there. Blind, please help. So you would think, some of us will respond like, oh. But the young man noticed that despite it was rush hour, you know that most people see this, and many people were passing by that old man, yet no one was giving him any money. Sometimes I see that at our Costco here, when you see people hanging. I haven't seen them maybe because of, you know, and people just go. So the young man felt very bad that no one was helping that old man or giving him any money. So he went to the old man, took the old man's cardboard in his hand. Then he took out a thick marker pen out of his pocket and turned the cardboard, you know, the other way, and then he wrote this sign on the cardboard. Because the old man is blind, so he doesn't know, but he can feel, you know. So the old man noticed that someone was there writing something on the cardboard, but didn't say anything, because the young man didn't say anything to the old man. So just in a few minutes, that empty bowl was not filled with money. The old man noticed and stopped a stranger and asked him, what was written on that cardboard? The stranger replied, it says, it's a beautiful day. You can see it, I cannot. Remember the old man said, please help, I'm blind. People like, don't you have a job? Go get you a job. They might even say, after all, Stevie Wonder is blind, but he has a job. But, you know, but that thing catches people. It's a beautiful day. All of you can see it, but I cannot. It makes you pause, doesn't it? Like, huh? It actually makes us appreciate at the same time feel guilty. I can see you cannot. I'm going to do something about this. You see how the words makes a difference? Then the second part of the story, what we call unusual test. So it's like being in the classroom at the end of the college campus. So there was a philosophy professor. He gave an unusual test to his class. He lifted his chair up and kept it on the table. Boom. The chair is supposed to be on the floor, isn't it? Now he turned towards the board and wrote, prove that this chair does not exist. Only philosophers would do that, wouldn't they? The whole class was surprised and confused. Yet all the students started writing long, complex explanations. Among all those students was one student who completed a test in a minute and handed the paper to the professor, attracting surprise glances from his classmates even and from the professor himself. So some days later, after they've been graded and all of them, the class received their grades for the test. And the student who took just 1 minute to complete the test was announced the best answer. What was his answer? His answer was, what chair? See, sometimes we tend to think a lot, but the simplest thing, answers are just that simple. When we choose our word wisely, when we let God's wisdom come true, there's no complicated answer. Somebody is crying instead of saying, oh, it's your fault if you didn't go. Just say, I'm so sorry you are crying. How can I help? Instead of trying to say, oh, become a priest and read the sermon. Oh, well, you know, it was your karma that made you, if you didn't do this. No. Have empathy. Show compassion. Clean them up. And after now you may abuse them by telling them that it's their karma. Don't do that. So the Spirit of God wants us to choose our word wisely. Because if we do, the world itself will not be as complicated and we won't have all this drama we're having where, you know. May the divine love always guide our ways. Amen.